It's the Bengal Financial Literacy Show coming up next on KISU FM Radio with our host, Chris Chatwin, professor with the Idaho State University College of Business.
Welcome to this month's episode of the Bengal Financial Literacy Podcast. I am your host, Chris Chatwin, coming to you from KISU at Idaho State University. Had a little bit of a break during the summer, so happy to be back and making shows. Very excited for today. Have with us Dr. Tyler Birch from the College of Business. Dr. Tyler, introduce yourself, please.
I'm Dr. Tyler Birch. I have a PhD in organizational behavior. I enjoy long walks on the beach, and
you do not.
I love teaching. I have a
bad. That is true. I do know him well enough to know he loves teaching.
I do, and I do enjoy some research. My background before I had a PhD in this area in organizational behavior, I was an accountant. I worked in accounting firms for a while. Worked as a managerial accountant for Sandia National Laboratories. And, you know, I am one of Chris's favorite lunch partners. We like to
eat
lunch together.
That is also true.
And, you know, beyond that, I was born in Blackfoot. I have Southeast Idaho roots, but I grew up mostly in the Southwest and have always had an affinity for saving money and older vehicles.
So, all right. And that is the unique reason. You might say, okay, wait a minute. Organizational behavior, PhD in organizational behavior. What are we talking about today on the podcast? But really, I just said, hey, Tyler, I got a great subject matter for us to discuss, and I think you're the perfect individual. He said he has an affinity for older vehicles, and that's why you're on the show. Tell us, please. Tell the world about your sweet Bronco.
Okay. Well, I drive a 1989 Ford Bronco II. I've worked on restoring it a little bit with a former student of mine who ran a body shop in town. And it's, you know, it's an old beater that gets around. It's my daily driver. It's actually pretty clean for its age. I get a note on it about once a semester from a student saying they want to buy it. But then when I tell them how much I want for it, they usually say no. But I paid $2,200 for it. It had some mice living in it, needed a new radiator and some things. But I fixed it up, and it's going pretty good. So, I've always loved vehicles. I've always liked working on them, even though I'm not particularly skilled. I can do a lot of basics. And I also, being a former accountant, there's a part of me that enjoys a good ROI, right? I like, if I'm going to buy a depreciating asset, I prefer not to eat a lot of depreciation. So, yeah. So it's really hitting two of my, goals with one stone, right?
Yeah. So inexpensive, it's something you like anyways, something you can work on and maintain yourself, save a lot of money there,
yeah,
and really get, so ROI being return on investment,
yeah,
basically saying, hey, I can get a great bang for my buck here. I can really stretch that dollar.
Yeah, if I was driving a brand new Corolla, people would not be leaving notes on it saying, can I buy this from you, right? Like it's inexpensive, but I also get a lot of street cred for driving it. But, and I would say, you mentioned it's true that the older vehicle can be something easier to maintain, but it's also easy to find a relatively inexpensive mechanic that can work.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
almost
any mechanic can work on a 89 Bronco II. You don't need a lot of special anything.
Yeah, it's I to get off topic, I love, because I've had a lot of experience working on vehicles with my dad, one of my best experiences as a kid working on vehicles. But it's a stark difference. You know, you open up the hood of that older truck, and how much space is in there, because there's not a lot of computer and all
the
kinds
emissions
of
controls.
Yeah.
And
you can actually get in there and work, but now
it's
I open up my hood and there's no room for anything.
And you get an old Ford, 89 Ford Bronco II with a 2.9 liter, and they made 800 million of them. You know, they put that motor in everything for years. And so we're talking about the cost of things. This is not an exaggeration. A new Bronco and this Bronco apart to fix, let's say, even something like a fuel filter, it's often a factor of double, triple, quadruple, if not more, price difference on the part.
And not that everybody has to fix their own vehicles, obviously, but if you have the know-how to be able to replace something
labor's
like
free.
That, it's a lot easier on those older where, again, you're not having to move a bunch of stuff. I had the spark plugs changed on my van. And that van's 12 years old, so not brand new, but just the way
modern,
that they're positioned.
Yeah.
It was a four-hour mechanics job because of all this stuff they had to take out just to get to the spark plugs. I remember changing spark plugs with my dad all the time.
I can easily access all six spark plugs. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely a part of it.
All right. So the reason Tyler's here is because he's got a sweet old Bronco. But it's not his only old car. And I also happen to own two older vehicles. I won't say old. Definitely not an 89 Bronco. Yeah. So what I wanted us to talk about was, you know, some of the pros and the cons of owning vehicles that are paid off. You know, that could be older vehicles, that could be relatively new vehicles. But basically, what are the advantages, disadvantages of not having a car payment anymore? And, you know, disclaimer, as we're discussing this, this isn't because, hey, Tyler and I are doing everything 100% accurate, people.
Right.
I tell my students all the time, personal finance is more personal than it is finance, and everybody's going to have different tastes.
Yeah.
I wish I came up with it, but I didn't. It's pretty
very good.
But I'm going to steal it as long as I can. So, yeah, we just want to talk about what we've experienced. I think we both, if I'm not mistaken, we both would not mind having newer vehicles.
Right.
It's not that we sit here and say, I like having this old vehicle.
Yeah. So a couple. So you mentioned, you know, the utility function of different people. Some people this would not work for.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it work for me? Well, first of all, I enjoy cars, and so I know the more you're somewhat aware of how they function mechanically, the less intimidated you are by having a car problem. So people that have
awesome.
So there's some people that are just terrified. Like they know that the key turns the motor on, and that's about it. And so
the button now.
The button,
these new
right?
That's how old we are. Yeah. I think most of them have buttons now.
And so they might be very for that person. That's just some of them. You know, you may not want to go this route because you're just nervous. Because yes, I drive that Bronco about once every 18 months. Will have a problem that I have to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Some people that would be a deal breaker, but for me it's like. I can fix that problem for $200.
Mm-hmm.
To buy a new Bronco, that would be a $900 payment a month, easy, plus at least $1,000 in over the year, $1,200, $1,400 in insurance a year.
Yeah.
I can throw out a couple hundred bucks every 18 months and put in a new radiator or a new solenoid or whatever, and I'm good to go. And so, but somebody who's like, my biggest fear is being stranded,
yeah.
Or I have to be going long distances with this car. Yeah, it probably wouldn't work for you. Our other vehicle is a 2006 Kia Sedona, which yes, my wife would love if we had a newer one, and we're looking at that. The COVID and the shortage and the price inflation of cars is partly why we're holding back.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got two 15-year-olds that are learning to drive, and when next summer they will be driving, and I will need to get another car at that point. But even with a late model van like that, if you're comfortable doing your own maintenance, if you're comfortable looking in the hood and looking for problems, doing that, you know how you'll take it to the mechanic shop and they do the 9-point inspection
mm-hmm.
or whatever. What if you did? If you know how to do that 9-point inspection and it's not that hard, you have more confidence that I can take this out of town. It's doing well. But yeah, so for the person who's like that, all terrifies me. This approach may not work for you, but that's not to say you couldn't. Buy a car and pay it off. Buy a slightly used car and pay it off quickly,
mm-hmm.
and have no payment, right?
Okay. So you said several things in there, and maybe we'll talk about each one of them just a little bit.
Hopefully, some of it was what you wanted.
So. No, it was great. Advantages, disadvantages, and I think you were really good at saying, you know, somebody who doesn't want to do like owning an old vehicle or an older vehicle does not mean you have to do your own maintenance.
No. A lot of it,
but
don't.
But if it's something you like, then that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's kind of put that aside. You can own an older vehicle.
And have a mechanic you really like.
And have a mechanic, mm-hmm. you know, somebody do all the stuff for it. But pros and cons are that older vehicle, like you said, every 18 months something happens and it doesn't run. The older vehicle, in most cases, is probably going to encounter more problems.
Yep.
Because it's got way more miles and way more wear and tear.
Right.
So that's a disadvantage, right?
Yep.
But along with that comes, you mentioned some possible advantages are, hey, the part or what I might need to do for it is probably relatively inexpensive in comparison to, you know, what I'm paying in insurance for a vehicle.
If you look at my total cost of transportation over, and yeah, it gets worse gas mileage, all the cars do.
Okay, there's another disadvantage. Typically worse gas mileage.
But the gas mileage issue, just insurance alone, comparing apples to apples, a newer vehicle compared to this, even if I got a little car, I would almost break even because the insurance is so much more on a newer vehicle. Mm-hmm. And so one of the big advantages of having an old beater is your insurance costs are way less.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like you said, you can get your own, if you find a mechanic you like that you trust, that's what I do. There's a lot of repairs where I can identify the problem. I know my solenoid's gone out. I do not want to have to dig behind the distributor and find it. And I'm not that skilled. I could do it. It would take me five times longer than a skilled mechanic, but I have a guy mm-hmm. that can do it and charge me a reasonable rate. And
perfect.
So
perfect. And I mean, you talked about insurance, and you know, we don't have enough time to talk about all the ins and outs of insurance. Might be a great episode for auto insurance. Talk more about that. I've done one where we talked a little bit about insurance, but insurance being way cheaper now. For those who aren't aware, two basic kinds of insurance: liability only, which is the basic insurance that everybody must have to be on the road.
Right.
Which is the insurance that if I cause an accident, my liability insurance helps take care of the person I harmed.
Right.
That's a requirement. Everybody has to have that. Other insurance being full coverage, which is comprehensive collision, which is if I cause an accident, okay, my liability takes care of the other person.
Right.
My full coverage, takes care of me, makes me whole. Full coverage, comprehensive collision insurance is going to be required on your vehicle if you are financing that. So if I'm purchasing a new vehicle and I have a loan, whoever lent me the money is going to require that. But once I've paid off the vehicle, it's up to me to decide. I'm assuming on that 89 Bronco, you're probably not carrying full coverage. I could be wrong.
You know what? I think I've left it on because it's like they're not going to – all they're going to do is cut you a check. It's like $10 every 6 months. Like, okay. It's nothing. Because they're going to say this thing's worth – even though it looks great and it runs well, they're going to give you some.
They're going to say 89 Bronco.
It's worth nothing.
Yeah, it's worth nothing.
And because there's variance on older cars is so much, right? So something to know is, yeah, don't carry a lot of comprehensive because the older a car gets, the more variance in quality. And so when they try to book your vehicle, when the insurance agent's like, this car's worth this, you might, if you have a cherried vehicle that you've really taken care of, they're going to book it like the beater that mm-hmm. has not been maintained. And so you're not going to get a large amount. So if you're going to get comprehensive, go cheap on it. One thing I will add, though, about liability, depends on your insurer, but what I've noticed as they break down the cost, an older vehicle they make some assumptions about. They make some assumptions, and these are true. They're accurate. You're not. They don't usually run very quickly, right? They're old. And mm-hmm. so you're not going 80 miles an hour down the freeway typically in a 35-year-old car. So they realize you're going to be driving less and you're going to be driving slower. You're going to take it out of town less. And so that all factors into the fact that they consider you a lower risk.
Gotcha.
Because if you're going at 70 miles an hour and you hit something or somebody, the potential damage you're causing is much higher. But if they think you're just tinkering around town in it, you're most likely getting in a fender bender.
Right.
And that factors into your rate.
Okay, so cheaper insurance.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, significantly,
Yeah, and so both your vehicles, 06 van,
like a factor
89.
Of four cheaper.
Yeah, well, and I actually just ran some numbers on this prior to coming on. The two vehicles that we own, my wife and I own, 2012 Toyota Sienna, so minivan, and then a 2007 Toyota Tundra. Both of those I have full coverage.
Both of those are newer than my two cars.
Both of those are newer than your two cars, which is why I invited you, Tyler.
Yeah.
I said, hey.
Yeah, it's fine. No,
hey,
it's,
these cars are brand new.
I might be over. Yeah, I might be too extreme in the one direction.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're paid off.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't talk about that being an advantage. No car payment. That's definitely an advantage. But,
right.
But yeah, I ran the insurance quotes. I'm paying roughly $600 a year for each of my vehicles to have full coverage.
Yeah.
And Idaho, as I kind of ran this, somewhere out there is an insurance agent that is probably screaming at the radio because they know all the numbers. But Idaho, relatively cheaper than several other states.
Yeah.
But I just kind of looked briefly at average, and it was like $1,600 a year.
Yeah.
For full coverage. Obviously, much more depending on where you live. But so, you know, I'm saving $1,000 a year in insurance, which maybe my car's not efficient gas-wise. Okay, maybe that makes up the difference.
Right.
But I also don't have a car payment. I think that's the other advantage
right.
that I like.
Yeah. Well, you think about, you know, the accountant in me runs these numbers in my head, and this is not. I want to let the podcast sphere know this is not necessarily wise, right? You can be too much of an accountant.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, 100%. But too much data, numbers,
and not enough. You know,
not enough feel.
Not enough. Like your kids need a nicer car, right?
Yeah.
But I will say, as I've thought about getting a new minivan and I'm running the numbers, I'm like, ooh, you know, if I keep this for another 5 years and invest what I would be spending on car payments, that could be, depending on which 5 years we're talking about, that could be a tremendous difference in a depreciating asset that's taking a liability, essentially, mm-hmm. that's taking value, your net worth away from you. And an asset that is growing, equities that are growing in value.
Potentially grow, yeah.
And so that factors a lot into my head. It's like, okay, what do I need? And separating needs versus wants. I need a car that gets me from point A to point B comfortably and safely.
Perfect.
That's what I need.
That's what you need.
And so when I've looked at these minivans that shot up in value, I'm like, you know, I can wait until they make a few more of them and they depreciate a little bit before I go grab one right at the top of the used car market back in 2022.
Mm-hmm. So, So that was a tough time for me, because same thing, like, even though my vehicles are much, much newer than yours.
Well, not much. Yeah.
I mean,
I have an 06 and an 89. So.
Yeah. Our minivan, you know, 6 years newer than your minivan.
Right. Much different vehicle for sure.
I have definitely many times, and my wife and I have had this discussion of how we'd like to upgrade that for several reasons. One, it's approaching 200,000 miles to where we feel like, hey, it's getting up there. You know, we don't want to get stranded somewhere if we're on a family vacation. It is front wheel drive, and, you know, Idaho winters, sometimes I think it'd be really nice to have all wheel. Yeah. Idaho winters, it'd be really nice to have heated seats. With technology being what it is now, and, you know, we get music through our phones and stuff, I'd love to have it have a Bluetooth radio.
Oh, well, you can get an aftermarket part.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Which I have on my truck.
Yeah.
You know,
Can I tell you, like, why I'm really thinking about I need a new car?
Yes.
Well, first, not to mention that my twins are turning, going to be driving.
Yes, yeah, you already mentioned.
But yeah, from 2006 to 2021, 22, they've not come up with any piece of technology that was significantly better than what I had in my van that I cared.
Mm.
Right? It's like, okay, I can add it's easy to add an aftermarket Bluetooth player.
Yeah.
I have cruise control, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the car's
automatic windows.
They've had automatic windows since the 80s, right? All this. But they've come out with adaptive cruise control.
Oh, and that's what you want.
And if you've ever gone on a road trip, now that utility function in my head is like, dang, that is a really nice feature that significantly undermines the value of the van for me, right? So eventually, you know, not needs versus wants, you know, but that adaptive cruise control, they're starting to come up with stuff in these newer vans. It's like, that is a significant increase in experience.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Well, and for us, like, we had to have a rental van for a little bit while they were doing some repairs on ours, and it was newer. And even just like the backup camera system, it was like a 3D or a 360 degree where it was kind of showing us a view, a display.
Right.
I mean, that's wonderful. So an advantage of those newer cars is you're having new tech.
Yep.
Okay. And newer safety features.
Yes. You know, my truck does not have an airbag in it.
Yeah. No airbag in the Bronco, right?
There are seat belts, but no airbag. Yeah.
So obviously advantages, disadvantages go beyond just the money.
Mm-hmm. Safety.
Safety, the experience.
Right.
You know, if you're somebody who you're in your car a lot, that makes a big difference.
But one thing that I'd want the listeners to remember is the utility function of a brand new vehicle diminishes super fast.
Super fast.
I mean, the joy you get out of driving that brand new F-150, it feels about the same as your old F-150 after about 3 months, right? On average, right? There's consumer studies that do this, right? And so, you got to be.
This is the researcher organizational behavior saying, here's what the data shows. Here's what the research shows.
Yeah, it's we as humans, we're really bad at deciding what makes us happy. And sometimes we have influences such as marketing to try to get us to make decisions that will cost us dearly, but won't increase our quality of life much. Right. And so I see people that are always getting new cars as susceptible potentially to that. Right. Where they're, you know, they and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe their life is significantly enhanced but I'm thinking I get from A to B just like they do.
Well, the pressure that society puts on us, that
yes, cars
that social
are,
media, that
cars
are, you know,
for
our constant
people,
phones in our hands, the keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, is definitely real to where we feel like.
And don't you think that cars, automotive, like cars are one of the core symbols that people will use to show I'm doing well. You should like me and should think I'm cool. Right. Like that's one of the consumer products that people will.
I'm not going to lie to you. That's why I love my Tundra. Right. It's a 2007 Tundra, but from like 2007 until probably like 2018, 2020, like Toyota didn't really make any drastic changes to the exterior of the Tundra. So that's an old vehicle that's in great shape, and it looks like I'm driving a new vehicle in a lot of ways.
Right.
And, you know, psychologically for me, like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, yeah, people, you know, this is a newer vehicle. People have commented on it. Hey, that's a nice truck, you know.
I just wonder if people step back and say, you'll see this, and people have, they get underwater in cars, and they have a lot of regret. We're talking about the other end of the spectrum where you're constantly living at the edge of your income with a car. Just remind yourself, no one cares that much.
Yeah.
No one really cares what you drive.
And it's affecting you.
Yes, and it's affecting you negatively.
The stress, financial stress, everything else that comes with it.
Depending on your income level, this could be the difference between retiring, right, 4 years earlier.
Sure.
Depending on your car choices throughout your life and what you're doing with that money instead.
Cool. Yeah, on that note, great book, very old book, late 90s, but Millionaire Next Door, which is a book that kind of interviews all of these everyday millionaires, people you wouldn't expect have high net worth, and talks to them about all kinds of different things. And one of them is the vehicle that they're driving. You know, what's the most money you spent, you know, ever spent on a vehicle? And what year is the newest vehicle you're driving? And, you know, a vast majority of them are driving vehicles that are not brand new.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're driving 89 Broncos.
Right.
Although back then, probably, because it was late 90s.
Yes, that would have been a nice car back then.
That would have been great. But, you know, if I'm in the market for a new vehicle, if I find a vehicle that's like 3 years old, especially if I'm lucky enough to find one that's, say, like a lease return, somebody had leased this for 3 years, they had a mileage restriction, they turned it back to the dealership, and now I'm buying it from the dealership, 3 years old means depreciation, the word you've thrown out several times, its cost, its value has gone down quite a bit.
So in most years.
Yeah. In most years, yeah.
Yeah.
Not obviously the COVID years were something unique.
Where they accelerated, yeah.
40% increase in car prices, and especially used cars.
Yes.
You know, crazy. But I can find a vehicle that's relatively new with those tech features, safety features, looks nice, feels nice.
Yeah.
And not pay as much as I would if I went and bought brand new this year's latest model.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it's good. I think it's good life advice to just, you know, drive something that meets your needs, not, you know, Dave Ramsey has that great line about don't buy things that you don't want or you don't need to impress people.
The great Saturday Night Live skit that you introduced me to.
Oh, yes, with Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, yeah. Don't buy things you can't afford. Yeah. And I use it in class now all the time. So
Don't buy things you can't afford to impress people you don't like.
Oh, yeah, nah, that makes sense. Don't buy things you can't afford.
Why do you care if someone's looking at your.
Now, bottom line, we'll close it out with this. Driving an old vehicle isn't necessarily the best thing. Driving a new vehicle isn't necessarily the best thing. You got to figure out what the best thing is for you. And if the best thing for you is to have a new vehicle, whether that's because of tech, because that's safety, that's how it feels, whatever it is, probably the best thing, and this is advice that just keeps circling back, is know what you can afford.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's been a lot of advancements with apps and even dealerships that do this now where you can like price out things to where they now show you an estimated monthly price.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you go to buy a vehicle, you just see a sticker price.
Yeah.
You need to know what you can afford monthly if you're going to get a loan.
Right.
Know what you can afford monthly so that is what you're looking for, fits your budget, doesn't stress you out.
I'm going to push back a little bit on that, though.
Okay.
You need to know your full cost of ownership.
Yeah. No, that's
because,
no.
Because a lot of dealers will help you know, oh, yeah, I can fit that in my monthly budget. By the way, it's an 8-year loan.
Yeah.
And you're going to spend, like, do you know how much that car is actually going to cost you once you're done? Right. And so
I think you're forgetting insurance, total ownership. Yes.
Interest rates are important. Monthly payments are important if you're not going to pay cash. But think in terms of total cost.
Total costs, including the length of paying off that loan,
right, what
total
interest would
be over the long run.
Yeah.
What's insurance going to be?
Yeah. If you come into a dealership and you say, "Let's talk about payments."
Yeah.
They start looking.
And that's what that's where I'm sitting is saying you need to know all that before you go in.
Yep.
And that's why you should take personal finance with Chris Chown.
Absolutely. It's a great, the best class ever.
And organizational behavior and leadership.
Which we'll talk about motivation and teams and conflict, but also very, not relevant to this conversation, but also valuable skills.
Also very valuable skills. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, Tyler, I'm not going to lie. I really just wanted you on the show so we could chat some more.
I totally wanted to be on the show. I've wanted to be on the show forever
We have spitballed so many ideas. We need to have a show where we talk about the worst financial decisions
you've ever made.
At some point, we will. Yeah. We'll probably have Tyler back.
Get me and Dave in here.
Yeah. Well, we get Dave in here. He just talks about Star Wars.
Oh, he does?
I had Dave in here before. He just wants to talk about Star Wars.
He doesn't want to talk about how he lost his shirt in other investments.
He'll always talk to me about it, but we'll get everybody on here. We'll talk worst financial decisions or stupid mistakes. And then, you know, we probably need to talk about some of the best things too. And I don't mean the lucky, like, oh, I just happened to get on this in the right time and it popped. Yeah. But like
smart, wise decisions.
For you and I, our smart decision has been driving older vehicles.
Yep.
But that may not be the wise decision for somebody else.
Right. So. Might not be their thing.
Tyler, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. You can have me back anytime.
We're going to do it again tomorrow, but just without a microphone, right? We're just going to have lunch and chit chat.
We're going to talk more about this and have, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the content might vary, but yeah.
But we should just record at all times and we might just have a regular podcast.
We might go viral,
lunch hour with Tyler and Chris.
It would be fun.
It would be a new show.
I mean, we might lose our jobs, but it would be fun.
All right. Well, Tyler, thanks for being on the show. To everyone out there, you know.
Thanks for both of you who are listening. That was rude. I'm sorry.
No, you're. I mean, if you're out there and you're listening, I mean, send me a line.
You know, yeah. You know? If you're out there and you're listening.
Especially if there's a topic you'd like to hear.
If this has been helpful to you, Chris and I would love to go to lunch. You pay. just reach out.
Or, you know, again.
We're great lunch guests. We really are.
And let me know what you want to hear about.
Yeah. So. That's good.
Or maybe we'll have you on, you know? All right. Thanks, Tyler.
You're welcome.
The Bengal Financial Literacy Show, hosted by ISU's Chris Chatwin, can be heard every third Monday at 7:30 p.m. on KISU-FM. Shows are produced at the studios of KISU in Pocatello at Idaho State University, with editing for this episode by Shelby McGovern and Mackenzie Young. Audio of this and all past episodes of Bengal Financial Literacy can be found at kisu.org or from Spotify and other select podcast services. Music was produced by Joseph Emmanuel under the direction of the ISU Commercial Music Program. Major funding support for KISU local programming comes from the Associated Students of Idaho State University.